I am an avid hairdryer user and have been all my life, and a lot of my hairdryers have just packed it in because they've got too hot. So, you know, it's a matter of whether or not the hairdryer is getting too hot. And a little sensor which is saying, hey, Kath, it's just about to tip over the edge. You know, obviously you buy a good quality hairdryer, that doesn't happen. But sometimes, you know, who knows, there could be an extra voltage that goes through the hairdryer which causes it to trick. So this is where I think in the appliance area, it certainly does make sense. In the manufacturing space, what's really interesting is that there is now wearables. So wearable devices that are based on the Internet of Things, where someone in an assembly environment where they're having to pull together something, they can put on a smart glove. And the smart glove actually helps them to guide the process in terms of exactly what part they pick up, you know, in sequence. But it also does things like it's checking for strain, and it's being used to actually reduce injury. So this is a really interesting area. The whole wearables area is fascinating. In the mining resources sector, a lot of the sensors, you can put a sensor inside a hard hat. And the sensor then is collecting data, for example, on the quality of the air. And then is able to send a signal, absolutely, to the you know, the miners that, hey, there's, you know, you might want to move on or get up. Because, you know, the oxygen levels or something are low. So there are some really, really sensible, smart ways in which smart sensors and the Internet of Things can be used for improvement of health and also just making work environments safer.
What if people don't want this data collected on them?
Well, the data's not been collected on them necessarily. And this is where marketers around the world, you know, have this notion of opt-in. So you can opt in to participate. But look, there is definitely, I'm not going to at all put under the carpet, that there are very legitimate concerns about the Internet of Things. And this is a space that we need to navigate very carefully. I'm actually more worried about drones, to be honest.
Why?
Well, because not that I'm personally worried about drones, but I think that the discussion around robotics and automation and drones is a very valid conversation. I suppose for me, just personally, what I would really hope to avoid in our city is to have, you know, thousands of drones that are just droning, you know, across our city. They're noisy. I live opposite a park and, you know, a fairly large park in northern Sydney. And, you know, on Sundays, it's just awash with people with drones. And
because there's different drone users, you know, you might have the farmers who are using them to kind of scour the agricultural land.
I really like the farmer example because that is real. You know, that's actually happening. What's really cool is, have you heard of Little Ripper? So Little Ripper is a drone that is now being deployed in Bondi Beach. Some wonderful engineers, I think they may have been retired engineers or whatever, they came up with this great idea, which was to get a little craft. It looks like a tiny little helicopter. But what it's actually doing is it's scanning the coastal environment for sharks and also for debris that's floating in water. So it's been an amazing tool for people like the Surf Life Saving Association. They've endorsed this, and that's a really good example happening right here in our city.
So just to talk a bit more specifically about how the IoT network functions, and if we just use the farmer as an example, if the farmer wants to monitor something and has a IoT chip embedded somewhere, does it essentially work that that chip will register different things happening around and then feed that back to the farmer?
That's exactly what it looks like. So think of a farm where there is a crop on the farm, and again, they might have a couple of what we call smart sensors. They could be little boxes or tiny little monitoring instruments. And that monitoring instrument is then sending a signal using, in our instance with the work we're doing with UTS, using actually the 915 megahertz radio spectrum to communicate from that little instrument to the internet. So the farmer can then look at his website or look at his iPad and see exactly what's going on with it could be a water channel for his irrigation, or it could be a pump for his water pumps, and he can see that information in real time about how that particular thing that he's monitoring or asset that he's monitoring is performing.
So monitoring is one side of it.
Yeah.
How about just smartening up some of the other things around us?
Yeah, well, look, you know, to smarten things up around us, we've actually got to know what we're trying to smarten. It's more about, well, what's this data telling us? One project that we're about to kickstart is to actually build a fitness tracker for the city. So think of a Fitbit, you know, for a personal fitness. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could get a whole heap of data about how the city's performing from a fitness perspective? So we can monitor things like fine particle pollution. We can check on traffic congestion, noise levels. We can even track what has been termed now as the urban heat island effect. And that's due to rising temperatures in cities because of tree canopy loss and just, you know, the whole activity around cities. Because if we can actually monitor how well the city is performing, for example, on environmental quality and amenity, then that has immediate flow-on effects to the fitness of people and the health of people and the well-being of people.
If we're looking at something like the urban heat island effect, for something like an IoT chip to work, where would you put them?
They could pretty much go anywhere. We can get enthusiasts who are interested about the environment to put it, for example, they could put it on the balcony of their house. You know, we could put it on a public building. We could put it in the middle of on the top of a light pole in a public park. And then once we have these devices that could be tracking really simple things like temperature, humidity, ozone levels, just start with that. We could also have other devices that are checking vibrations, for example, for noise. Then, you know, with all of those sensors out there in the city and people hopefully crowdfunding themselves and getting that information out there, then we can build an overall picture and share that data. So when people use the community network, they're also potentially improving Sydney's, you know, amenity.